over into Luke's Gospel, please. I'd like to just take a few moments and give you a brief sermon this morning. But I cannot get away from this as it penetrates my heart today. I'll be honest with you, I told the Lord over there, I don't want to preach unless you want me to preach today. But I want to share a few thoughts with you out of Luke's Gospel, if you would turn with us this morning. I'll be over in Luke chapter number 22. I again today would like to deal with a double-named character that God used. He's very well known among our congregation. He's very well known in my life. Here the Lord says in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Brother Tim, I thought about you this morning when I seen this insert. But I've prayed for thee.
Oh, yeah.
That thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You may be seated today. Father, we bless you. Thank you for this quality time today. God, a time in your presence, I don't take that lightly. I respect that. And I give you the right of way. I pray now you take this time to touch our hearts and help us along life's way. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. Last Sunday I dealt with a double-named character of Abraham. Abraham. You know, Abraham had a hard job he had to take care of because God had asked him to take his son Isaac, upon Mount Moriah and offer him there for a sacrifice. I am reminded when Abraham saddled his ass, he took his servants with him, and when he saw the place afar off, he turned to his servants and he said, hold the donkey. Me and my son's going to go yonder and worship. But we'll come back. I want to be one of those servants. When people mind God, I'll be standing there behind the scenes. Holding your donkey. This morning I would like to deal with this second character in this subject, Simon, Simon. You'll notice in these double named titles in the Bible, it speaks of alertness. Simon, Simon. Abraham, Abraham. If there's ever been a day and an hour when God's people need to be alert, it is this hour, this day. You'll notice, first of all, by way of outline this morning, in Simon, Simon, you'll notice that there is a definition that is sobering. A definition that is sobering. Pastor, what is so sobering? You'll notice the name Simon, Simon. That was his name. But then secondly, in this definition that is so sobering, not only do we find his name, but we find his nature. Simon. Simon. That was his given name as he was born from his earthly father. It reminds me of not only his nature, but my nature, that old nature, that fallen nature that I had been born with. Here it is as if Jesus is highlighting and magnifying who Simon is. Simon, Simon. We see this definition that is so sobering. We see this name Simon. Look in John 1 and 35. I won't be long today. John 1 and 35. But I want to show you these Bible truths that are helping in your life. John 1 and 35. We pick up in the text where John the Baptist has something to say. He said in John 1, 35, and again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What seek ye?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. And one of the two that heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Time out. I wonder how many people you've brought to Jesus. Now, Andrew is a man that he never preached a sermon in our Bible. You'll notice that there's not much writing about Andrew, but oh, how God used him behind the scenes to bring forth his brother Simon. And so we see here, he brings his brother, and he first finds his own brother Simon. I want to say something. We that are saved by the grace of God, if we don't have a burden for our own family, something is wrong with us. He first found those that was closest to him. And he brought him, verse 42, to Jesus. And look what Jesus says. And Jesus beheld him and said, look what Jesus told him. "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which we use the Greek word there, Petros or Peter, which is by interpretation a stone. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now I want you to notice that when Jesus found him, he did not find Peter. He found Simon. Jesus told Simon, he said, "Now your name is going to be called Simon Peter." We're talking about a definition that is sobering. We see this name, this nature, he found Simon. But now look at Matthew 16 and 13. The story changes. Matthew 16 and 18. And we'll get right in where I want to go this morning. Matthew 16 and 18. I want you to notice your Bible. Matthew 16 and 18. Here we find Peter's confession. Peter tells people publicly that he knows the Lord. And let's look what it says. When Jesus came in Matthew 16:13, he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But whom say you that I am?" And here's our phrase. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now this definition that is sobering, this is what I want you to take home with you this morning. You see, when Jesus found him, he found Simon. He didn't find Peter. When the Lord allowed him to be saved by the grace of God, he gave him a new name. But all the days of his life, he carried the name Simon Peter. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it means to me in our text, Simon, Simon, this definition that is sobering. First of all, we better realize what we are. We're still Simon. Even though you're saved, you've got an old nature in you. And you can put perfume on it. You can try to educate it. You can do the best with it that you know to do. But you're always going to have that old nature in you. But he said, "I'm going to give you a new nature." Inside of you that are saved, there's an old man and a new man. And it's going to battle you all the days of your life. Simon Peter was a man, get this, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Has any of y'all walked on water lately? But he began to sing. So many times in Simon Peter's life, we found Simon that he would raise his head up on the scene. But many times we'd see Peter prevail. So Peter, all the days of his life, he had to realize, even though Christ saved him, he was still a Simon. You better not trust your flesh no further than you can throw your flesh. Simon. Peter, this definition that is so sobering. We see this name, we see this nature, but now we see this new neighbor. Somebody's moved in, Simon. Aren't you glad you got a new neighbor this morning? He goes to bed with me and he wakes up with me. And the times that I've tried to leave him, he's never left me. So we see within Simon there's a great battle going on in his life. Do any of you ever battle Simon? You know, we see in Ephesians 4:17, the Bible teaches us of this new man and old man. Ephesians 4:17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man." Which, look who he is. Oh, he's corrupt. "According to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of the mind." And here it is. that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away all lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What are you going on, preacher? Let me tell you something. When Simon Peter got saved, Simon did not cease to exist. He kept on living. Somebody asked me something one time. I can remember here years ago. He is really troubled. He is really troubled. And I'm going to try to help somebody here this morning. I'll never forget it. Before we even added a wing on, he come and he knelt by my chair one morning. This is what he said. Pastor, I need to ask you something. He said, I've not been saved long. I used to drink a lot. And he said, a man told me that if I still want a beer, I can't be saved. I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, do you realize when God saved you, you had an old nature, and that old nature loves the things that you used to do? But now this new nature that Christ has given you in Christ, now there's an alarm inside of you letting you know that things are not right. It goes way beyond the conscience. And let me tell you may be saved this morning. And I'm going to say this biblically. You may sin, but you can't enjoy it long after you do it. So there's a battle. He said, I want you to know, first of all, the way I define this, I want you to know this definition that is sobering, that old man's going to haunt you all the days of your life. A little woman, somebody pull out in front of me. Before I know it, I got the window rolled down. Wanting to run my hand out and shake my fist at somebody. And when I get through with that, there's God saying, why'd you do that? Wouldn't that be a blessing if we didn't have to deal with this old man? Paul wrote about it all through the Roman epistles. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, the things that I want to do, I can't do it. And them things I hate to do, I find myself pulled to them. It's a battle. It's a battle. This is real deal where I'm preaching this morning. It's a battle. Today, this definition that is sobering, I want to show you something that I noticed in my studies this week. Look in 2 Peter 1:1. This sure did help me. It don't give me a license to sin. I want to clarify that. Somebody said, because you're Baptist, you think you got a license to sin. That's hogwash. When we do sin, when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now watch this. Look in 2 Peter 1:1. I want everybody to get there because I'm not preaching much longer. But I want you to see this right here. Peter is fixing to die. The Lord has told him, they're going to take your life, Peter. And a lot of the theologians, a lot of the history says, when they crucified Peter, they hung him upside down because he so reverenced the Lord, he did not want to die the way Christ died. He said, hang me upside down and let me die. Look what he says. He's going to his grave and look in his last writing what he says. 2 Peter 1, here it is. Simon Peter. He said, I've been following the Lord a long time and I've still got Simon with me. And folks, till we go to heaven, we're going to have Simon bothering us all the days of our life. Simon, Simon. This definition that is so sobering. But secondly, not on the definition that is sobering, look at the desire that is sifting. It's only used here in the New Testament. It means to shake. It means to toss. And if you'll really look it up and study your Bible, this is the only place that two words is mentioned. Desire and sift. In other words, he's been wanting to try Peter for a while. The Lord allows it. Now, I want to say something. Before I get on in this text, I want you to realize there is a desire that is sifting. Satan is not your friend. Satan is our enemy. He is a destroyer. And let me tell you, don't ever get messed up. We're not each other's enemy. He's seeking whom he may devour. But in this text, there's this definition that's sobering. There's this desire that is sifting. This word desire simply means to obtain by asking. It's as if he had asked the Lord not only about Job, but I want to test Peter. And so in this desire that is sifting, we know Satan's design. He's against anything that is godly. He's a destroyer, young people. You don't play with the devil and get by. He would love for you to die and go to hell in your sin and not respond to the gospel. That's who he is. He's a destroyer. Mom and Daddy, he wants to split your home. He wants to bust our church. He wants to destroy your life. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. You ever notice how subtle he is? How this subtlest, easy movements. And before long, the way the devil does, you was here, now you find yourself over here, because he's so subtle. He don't slap you in the face. He's just subtle. Subtle. This desire that is sifting. We see Satan's design. We know about Satan's devices. 2 Corinthians 2, we're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's up to. He's not to bring life, but he came to steal, kill, and destroy. But thirdly, this is where I want to get to, and I'm done preaching. The definition that is sobering, the desire that is sifting. But lastly, look at the design that is securing. The design that is securing. The Lord said something. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee. You ought to go home and read your Bible, John 17, how he prays for us. Did you know the Lord has prayed for you? He's a great intercessor to God, and he prays for all of his children. The design that is securing. You'll notice, first of all, there's a friend that is praying, but I've prayed for thee. Have you prayed for anybody lately? There's a friend that is praying. Aren't you glad you got a friend that'll pray for you this morning? Whatever you're going through in life, you remember this, Jesus is there. He had a friend that was praying. Then secondly, he had a faith that was prevailing. Look what he said. He said, Peter, I'm not going to pray for anything except that your faith will not fail. I told you last Sunday, faith cometh by hearing, but your faith never grows until you walk and live by faith, by trial and experience. A friend that was praying, a faith that was prevailing. But lastly, look what he says. Really got my attention. There's a feature that is productive. A feature that is productive. Look what he says. He said, I've prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted or changed, when you've got some experience under you and you realize, see, this is the deal. This was Simon's problem. Simon wasn't low on confidence. He had a lot of self-confidence. But through this process, Jesus is going to allow this transition to happen. And look what he tells him. He tells him at the last, this feature that is productive. He said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I want to say something right here. We that have failed and got back up, God has designed it for the devil wanted to get the grain. God turns it around and he does away with the husk and he keeps the corn. Would you ever thought that God would allow Peter, somebody that denied him? Had everything all together and all of a sudden they said, are you one of them? He said, I sure ain't. And through this process, God is going to take and use this man to reach thousands. Could you imagine, Brother Adam, those other disciples when the Lord put Simon Peter up at Pentecost preaching? Could you imagine the other disciples said, I can't believe he used him. But you see, I want to say this to some of you this morning and me as well, that's had some issues and you've got back up and went on for the glory of God. God allows things that you may help others. I asked you something now, since Peter's been through this great trial, Noah. I asked you something. Wouldn't he be a lot more gracious now? I'm noticing people, Brother Lee, that have no mercy, no grace. They're all law. Throw you on the bus. Boom, 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 boom. They've never been where he's been. Never been. You'll go showing grace to people. You'll go to loving people the way you've never loved. And Jesus said, I can take that kind of failure and reach others for the honor and the glory of God. Aren't you glad failure ain't final this morning? A lot of you, drugs has got you. You've tried to get rid of them. Well, you can help somebody else that's trying in that direction. Some of you that's went through marriages that is broken apart through that trial, God has removed the husk and now the golden grain has appeared and you can help somebody else. You that's lost a child, I've never lost a child. You've been through the deepest, darkest trials of your life. But now God can use you to help others. Do you see in this Bible how involved it is in helping others? Not throwing others to the curb, but helping others. Through my failures, through my mistakes and difficulties, how can I use it to honor God and strengthen the brethren? Something I want you to be aware of, just because you're saved, Simon, never leave you. Y'all listen to me, and I'm going to say something to your pastor, and I'm done preaching. I'm going to tell you this. The reason a lot of people don't like me because I'm so honest, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I've never been closer to God than where I stand this morning. But I've never seen the old man so much alive. I want to say something. When you battle your flesh, it's not a sin. But when you give in to your flesh, it becomes sin. Do you hear me this morning? When you battle your flesh, it's not sin. But when you give in to your flesh, it becomes sin. Simon. Simon. I've got a German Shepherd dog. Really tried my patience this week.